It's a Friday night in Beverly Hills, and I'm sitting at the bar inside the Beverly Hilton when I notice a man walk in. He's dressed entirely in black. Black shoes, pants, t-shirt, and a blazer. On top of his head is a black baseball cap. And in his hand is a briefcase. Except it's not the normal size and shape of a briefcase. It's a little fatter and more squat. He stops for a moment, looks around the room, and then walks towards me and sits in the empty seat to my left. I don't say anything at first, just look over and nod. And he smiles. He orders a drink, and then I ask him, "What's in the briefcase?" He smiles and says, "A gun." And I laugh, thinking it's a joke, but it's not. He sets the case on the bar and opens it. It's unlike any gun I've ever seen. It looks like the type of weapon a character in a space movie might have. Then he takes it out of the case, presses the barrel against my back, and pulls the trigger.
What does it feel like? There we go. It's like a massage gun for your back, your hips, your dips, your chips, and lips.
He tells me he's a member of the Zen in Black. And I have so many questions for him. Mainly, who the hell are the Zen in Black? But I never get a chance to ask him. Because all of a sudden, he finishes his drink, stands up, and glances out the window of the bar.
Shoot, we gotta go.
He puts his gun back in its case, and then empties the entire bowl of bar Chex Mix into his hand.
Take some of these to go.
Little pretzels and pieces of cereal scatter across the bar and onto the floor.
All right, go right.
Later. Oh, man.
And he strides through the hotel lobby and jumps into the back seat of an idling car. In downtown LA, a woman who goes by the name of Geisha is pulling up to the curb outside a Japanese restaurant in Little Tokyo. She's on the clock at her job as a weed delivery driver.
All right, so this guy, we were a little late to complete his order, so we just threw in a free joint. It's like LA's great. You get home from work, call in a delivery service, get your food, your weed. Your hookers. Hypothetical, you know?
And in South LA, Andrea Galdamez is feeling nervous.
I mean, I'm nervous, but more excited than nervous, yeah.
Andrea is a senior at Roosevelt High School, and this particular Friday happens to be prom night.
I'm nervous for my hair because I don't have a hairstylist, and my friend and I are just gonna work with my hair. I feel like my boyfriend's gonna forget our corsage, but I'm praying that he won't.
Down on Main Street in South Central, a small group of older men and women are gathered around a barrel fire in a junkyard. Just past the fire is a doorway that opens to one of the last remaining juke joints in California. Every Friday, after the sun goes down, people stroll past the old refrigerators and scrap wood and broken down cars to a room in the back with a small stage and a concrete dance floor.
So right about now, I'm going to do a little bit of R&B and some old school. You know, it's like some of the old songs that really bring them there and really bring the lovers together. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to be getting down tonight, brother. Take it from Sir Dwayne Wayne. If you happen to be able to get a little bit of that on tape, yes, I won't be mad at you, brother.
I'll get it all.
What's your next date?
Over in Northeast LA, Alexander Nemzer is hiking up a mountain.
I don't really have to do anything to belong to this world. I'm just like, I don't really know why I'm here. I don't know if I earned being here, but I'm loving it. And like, that's a Sabbath feeling.
And one block off Hollywood Boulevard, David Ramek is spending his Friday night at work, washing the windows of a Mexican restaurant.
What's it like being a window washer?
It's all right, you know? I mean, it's not what I really want to be doing in my life. It's just something I'm doing to get by right now. But yeah, I mean, I have my ideas and my dreams, and I know damn well if I follow through on them, you would know my name. I even wrote a script for a movie. Believe it or not, I also wrote up a raunchy sex comedy based on the Bible. And if I could, I'd like to get Snoop Dogg to be the talking snake. That shit would be funny, right?
Yeah.
That shit would be hilarious.
Way out in the valley, in a suburban backyard in Burbank, 3 5-year-old girls are spinning wildly, holding on to each other like their lives depend on it. They're on a tree swing. It's going faster and faster and faster. Their hair is sticking straight out horizontally. It's a classic Friday night feeling. The joy and expectation ramping up, getting more and more hysterical.
I'm trying to stop it with my foot!
Until it breaks.
Stop! I'm having a nightmare!
Did you know that 1/7 of all human experience happens on a Friday? Babies are born, windows are washed, people fall in love, get high, make dinner, put their kids to bed. For a lot of us, Friday is just another day at work, or a lonely night at home with that heavy feeling that out there in the city, other people's dreams are coming true. They're falling in love, dancing their brains out until the sun comes up, having the best cheeseburger of their life. But recently, things have felt different. On March 16th of this year, everything changed. The mayor of LA, Eric Garcetti, announced that all bars were closed and restaurants takeout only. And except for exercise and essential needs, we would be confined to our homes. And suddenly, this pile of tape I've been collecting on Friday nights for the past 7 years became something different. A time capsule of what it used to be like. Back when you could jump on the train or get in your car, fire up your electric scooter, and head out into the night and have a great adventure. For me, Friday night has always been about freedom. That moment when you get off work and your time no longer belongs to someone else. And the night is yours. From KCRW, this is Welcome to LA. Episode 13. Friday Night. The Kingdom of Time.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The sun is super bright as we walk out of a dispensary in an industrial part of downtown. Geisha, a weed delivery driver, gives a nod to the security guard before heading out on her first delivery of the day.
I got a bunch of edibles.
And the first thing she does is apologize for her messy car.
I tried to clean it as much as I could before you got in. I'm a single mom, you know how it is.
Yeah.
With kids.
Cheerios everywhere. Yeah.
Geisha is relatively new to this dispensary job, but she's worked in the weed industry for a long time. She worked on farms up in Northern California. She worked at other dispensaries, some legal, some not. She also puts on a popular underground fashion show called Dripped.
Right, so we're coming up on the address. I'll probably have to tell this guy that I have, I'm not gonna say you're a journalist, I'm just gonna say you're a coworker. So this guy keeps calling me man. I'm like, my name's Geisha. Hi, this is Geisha, your delivery driver from Downtown Patient Group. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Oh, there you are. Okay. Sorry, this guy's just my coworker.
All right.
Hey, how's it going? So we threw in some extra gifts for you.
Awesome.
So your total will be, what is it? 60. Right. And tips are appreciated, but not mandatory. Thank you.
Just south of the dispensary, Chuck and Hardy Melanchon, a couple in their mid-80s, have wandered into a junkyard on Main Street. It's called the Barnyard. They're here because their refrigerator broke.
So we need one.
And they're in luck. Joe, the owner of the Barnyard, has a working fridge for sale. But it's been sitting out in the weather for a while and needs a good cleaning.
It takes 2 mules from Africa to clean it. What?
That's a funny saying.
What?
2 mules of Africa.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Okay. Well, it's time for you to learn something.
Chuck walks around to look at the compressor at the back of the fridge. It towers over him and Hardy, who both have that slight hunch that people in their 80s have. They look so fragile next to this boxy white appliance. As Chuck kneels down to inspect something, Hardy looks up at the sky.
So, I think we're going to get some rain today. I don't know, but it looks like it anyway. Here he is. Currently getting ready for prom right now.
Not far from the barnyard, Andrea Galdamez is going through a box of jewelry. She's stressed out. Prom is only a few hours away, and after all the planning, finding the right dress and shoes and corsage, Andrea forgot to get one thing. Well, two things, really.
I forgot to buy earrings. Great. It's prom, and I don't have earrings. Okay, Mom.
My mom's extra, so she's been planning prom in her mind for years now. I'm simple. She wanted me to rent a party bus, and she was all for it. She was like, yes, party bus before prom, after prom. She wanted me to go take pictures at all the LA like hotspots, and she's really excited. My dad works all the time, so he found out I was going to prom last week. But I don't know, most dads are like that. Yeah. So my mom's a janitor. She works in Santa Monica in the hospitals, and my dad's a painter, so he paints houses all over LA. Yeah. They're not from here. We're originally from El Salvador. I think it's called Promoción over there, but their promoción is like everyone goes. So I think that's like more like a homecoming. Yeah, but not a real prom.
On the morning of prom, Andrea interviewed her mom in the car as they were running errands.
¿Cuál fue la parte más divertida?
Pues creo que la parte más divertida, yo me siento muy emocionada, creo que más que tú todavía.
She told her daughter that it was a dream to see her enjoy all her success, to see her so pretty and elegant. And she loved watching her go through this beautiful transformation.
Que se miran bonitos, elegantes. Y pues disfrutamos. Yo disfruto cada momento a tu lado con de la transformación que estás haciendo ahorita de pues sí, de que te vas a vestir, que cambiar, que maquillaje, todo es algo muy bonito.
Here we go, you and me. Beep it up. Hello.
Right on the border between East Hollywood and Silver Lake, there's a five-point intersection where Hollywood, Sunset, Virgil, and Hillhurst all come together. And for the last 18 years, Steve Sharp has been standing here on this corner from 5 to 7 p.m. every single Friday. He's only missed a handful of Fridays. He's dressed in his work clothes, a white button-down shirt and a tie, dress pants. He's wearing black gloves and holding a homemade sign with a giant peace symbol on it.
Trying to get people to celebrate peace.
And how do you do it? Explain it.
How do I do it? Yeah. I got a sign, and I wave, and I jump, and I sing, and I, hey, cajole.
In the beginning, it was a protest against the first invasion of Iraq. Back then, there were dozens of people who showed up with signs and posters every Friday. But as the months wore on, and the bombs kept falling, people went on with their lives and eventually stopped showing up to protest. Steve isn't protesting war anymore. He's simply promoting peace.
Thank you. Come on.
You always keep the same hours?
Yeah. I get here sometime a little after 5 when I get home from work and spend a couple hours out here.
Where do you work?
I work as a trainer for an insurance company. Telling people how to estimate damage on cars and stuff. Gives me a chance to perform a little bit for the people, you know? Yeah. Come on, baby, let's go! Pull the trigger. Thank you, baby, thank you. Pull the trigger, come on. Hello? Somebody wants it. Come on. All right, Scion.
And they're trying to tell you all the promise. I'm trying to tell you that the way that you trained it, and they rely on the same thing.
Just outside City Hall, on the south-facing steps, hundreds of kids have gathered for the youth climate strike. They all skipped school for a march around downtown Los Angeles to raise awareness for climate change. I met some of these kids a few weeks before at a sign-making party in an old abandoned restaurant. A lot of the big cardboard signs people are holding up were made by these kids.
Well, the signs were very popular. It's like we're all warriors and we all share our tools, you know?
On Hollywood Boulevard, tourists meander up and down the block with their heads down, reading the names of celebrities embedded in the Walk of Fame. But David Ramick is looking up at the top of a window. He's on a side street, half a block from the Walk of Fame, washing a window with a long pole and a rag attached to the end. He has longish hair, a soul patch, and one of those short-brimmed hats worn by old-timey newsboys. David works efficiently, sliding the rag across the glass in a practiced pattern. Then he takes the wet rag and puts it in a bucket that's hanging off the handlebars of his bicycle.
I mean, it is a lot of weight, but I try my best. You know, I've learned how to keep my balance as best as I can, and I have towels and rags in the back so I can do detail, you know, around the windows.
Normally, David doesn't work on Fridays, but he had to move some things around on his schedule this week. That's one of the perks of being your own boss. But when David first started, he did have a boss, a friend who took him under his wing and taught him how to wash windows and get clients.
He got me into this business, but, you know, we had a falling out.
What happened?
Well, what happened was the final straw was when he attacked me one day because he accused me of stealing some stores from him. So he actually attacked me here on Hollywood. Yeah. So, is there any other questions you got for me?
What would you want to be doing with your life if you weren't washing windows?
Well, I was doing here for a while, I was doing stand-up comedy. So I was actually hosting an open mic here for a while, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not anymore?
Nah.
Why not?
Well, because it got to be too stressful. And because there's a lot of homeless people that were trying out stand-up comedy that were being, well, jerks. They were being pricks. You want me to tell you a story?
I guess it's light coat weather.
We're about halfway up the mountain, and as the sun inches closer to the horizon, it starts getting a little chilly.
And we have been touched by really beautiful light the whole way. At first, it was more kind of orange and gold, that kind of honeyed end of day light, and now it's more on the pink and purple, kind of like LA apocalypse sunset. And we're following a dog.
Alexander is slight, in dark rimmed glasses and a baseball hat with a psychedelic floral pattern and the words Heart Whisperer printed on the front. I asked him to go on this hike with me because Alexander is a poet who writes a lot about Judaism. And I wanted to know more about the story of the Sabbath.
I was thinking, like, for me, the experience of, like, coming from the work week into Friday night, it's like if you would go to a Shabbat service on a Friday night, it's, like, all about doing that inner shift from doing to being, that kind of more mystical place where you just feel interconnected in this timeless palace, basically, of presence. But it's not as easy as just like flipping a switch. So like if you go on Friday night to a service, there's this whole thing that happens at the beginning, which is called Kabbalat Shabbat, which means receiving or welcoming the Sabbath. And so that whole Kabbalah Shabbat, it's like that's a technology for switching gears from the kingdom of space to the kingdom of time.
This was actually the most like professional thing I have, this like this tambourine foot pedal thing. But yeah, you know, it's, and then there's a hole, a guitar with two holes in it. Everybody asks about that.
Sitting on a sidewalk in Highland Park, next to a shopping cart filled with clothing, is a street musician named Sergeant Leper. In front of his face is an elaborate web of microphone cables and bungee cords and a transistor radio, suspended in midair like a fly that's been captured in a spider web. He's surrounded by keyboards with blue painter's tape that he uses to hold down combinations of keys to make droning chords. It can take him hours to assemble this one-man band arrangement.
But yeah, I call it the setup, and I feel exercising my privilege as an American citizen to play my sidewalk music, especially on today, which I thought more people would, I was hoping more people would make a big deal about Friday, that, you know, because the youth are on that climate strike, you know? And, you know, it's a Friday, so I get it. Everyone, thank God it's Friday, but, you know, like, you know, it might not be too many Fridays left if we don't listen to the youth, you know?
But wow, see this? This is what you have to deal with. Even cops cut you off. Was that a cop?
Yeah,
yeah, that sure was. See? Zero fucks out here.
Back on the road with Geisha, we cruise along the 110 on our way to her next delivery.
Someone actually got robbed from our service last week.
Last week?
Yeah. They were held at gunpoint. I think there was 4 people with guns packing. And they were like, give us the bag or we're going to take everything. So he just gave him the bag, which is really stupid. They essentially robbed him for like $114 worth of shit.
No, it was cash?
No, they didn't get any cash from him. Just the product from our shit. They like trapped him in a cul-de-sac. But it was a bad neighborhood. I kind of knew. I looked at the map and I was like, ooh, this is kind of iffy. But I didn't want to be like presumptuous. I don't want to be prejudiced. I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing that sucks, you know, because it's like you want to be able to service areas like that. But if people are going to like do that, then it's like you just fucked yourself, you know, you just fucked it up for other people that may actually need this kind of service. Like right now, I'm delivering to a mom that just put her kids to sleep.
Nice to see you in person.
I know.
Hey, how's it going? By chance, I happen to know this mom.
Our kids go to school together.
Her husband, a famous rock star, is out on tour with his band.
That's so funny. You guys know each other.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. All right. Let me know how you like it.
Thank you. I will. I'll definitely. Got some lots of odds and ends and screw shifts and stuff missing off of it. I just want to
give me $75.
Back at the barnyard, Chuck and Hardy have decided to buy the fridge. They talked the price down to $75.
Give me the money, honey. I got a congressman at $75. Ooh, where you get that at? Ooh, I missed that pocket last night. Give me that 20, and let me see if I can buy it. Give me that 20, Mama. Give me the 20.
So. They hand the money over to Joe, the owner of the barnyard. Chuck and Joe have known each other for decades. Back in the day, before Joe moved into the wooden shack he built here at the barnyard, before he went blind, Joe had a number of businesses, a wrecking yard, a fleet of tow trucks. He even owned a grocery store.
Made a lot of money.
He was also a great guitar player. He used to play in blues bands in the stage he built at the back of the barnyard.
I'm a loner. I like to stay by myself. That's what I do all the time. I stay by myself. And I don't like a big crowd, no way.
You don't like a big crowd? Your house is like a giant party all the time.
But I'll be around here, so they'd be back there. I've been in the crowd all my life. I stopped playing guitar and bass and stuff because it was so crowded in here. Then I started making a whole lot of money. And I said, let everybody else play. So I let them play. I didn't play no more. I ain't played no more in about 15 years at least. That's all it is about me. Well, I ain't got no more to say.
At the Boneyard, how we do it, nothing but have fun all night long. That's how we do it at the Boneyard.
This is Meat Man. He's a regular. He even had his wedding here at the Barnyard.
They call me Meat Man.
Why do they call you Meat Man?
They call me Meat Man because I'm a retired Meat Man, but you know what? My kids and my wife call me Pimpin' because I dress so good. I can't help myself because I do what I do, and it isn't what it is. Easy, slow and easy.
Today, Meat Man has stopped by to help fix the place up. He's remodeling the bathroom. Then he's going to go home, have dinner, get dressed up, and be back for the party later tonight.
Let's put it like this. I'm going to be in white and
invite everybody.
Invite everybody, yeah. Everybody.
No, invite everybody.
Everybody.
Don't give a damn what color they are.
I don't give a fuck what color you are, what race you are.
And
I don't care.
Take care of the odd ones that's coming
I'm gonna
in.
I'm going to do that.
And make damn sure that everybody's welcome.
One thing about it. This is our home. This is our planet. Because we family here. And without family, you ain't got nothing. Now, I got to get back to work. I got to put this chainsaw together and get this bathroom together. I got a couple of more steps to do, Joe.
And we made it back alive again. Woo! Woo!
We had a great night. There's nothing better than being on the water. You know, look at the day. Beautiful breeze, sun, warm, friends. All good. Okay, get ready to go.
Go across?
Yep. Getting ready. Roof, keep first.
Right now we're sitting on board the vessel Rascal, and Rascal is a 37 and a half foot sailboat, and I have my crew on board along with my co-skipper and owner, and we just completed a race on Friday night, which runs once a month during the summer. And when we get out here on the water on Friday nights, it's a relaxing, supposedly,
I feel like some people are like, I'm going to relax, but that was like intense. That was intense.
We call it a relaxing race because it's short and fun. We don't try to protest each other. We go out and have a good time. But the Friday nighters, they have a class of their own. My name is Kathy St. Amant. I held a 100-ton Coast Guard captain's license. I've been sailing since 1972. Yeah, I'm getting old. Mother Ocean is everything to us, and we want to protect it and take care of it so we can continue to enjoy it, and those that come behind us continue to enjoy it. When I started this, I was always the only female on the boat. The guys were always gracious and sweet, but women weren't welcome. So a lot of most of the guys that own boats don't give up the helm very often, and the only way to learn is to get on the helm. So with these special nights, the women on the water nights, the men will actually hand over the helm to a woman, and then she gets to drive the whole race and get some experience in it. And it's really the only time that it ever happens until you buy your own boat. That's why I own a boat.
Out further in the Pacific Ocean, on Catalina Island, a group of musicians have gathered in a living room. Their good friend Marshall Brown died recently. He was a local legend in the Avalon music community. And tonight, they are honoring his life with a good old-fashioned jam session. Back on land at the Biltmore Hotel in downtown, the Roosevelt High School students were arriving at prom. The theme of the dance was the Great Gatsby. Some students wore 1920s era formal attire. Andrea wore a sleeveless gown covered in a gold sequin floral pattern. Her high-heeled shoes peeked out occasionally from under her dress. She wore her long hair down and looked elegant and happy. Her boyfriend wore a suit with a tie that matched her dress. He remembered the corsages.
Yeah, so we just arrived right now at the Biltmore Hotel. I'm with my boyfriend and our friends. We parked like 5 blocks away just to not pay like $35 parking. And we're really excited, you know? We're really hungry too.
How is it so far?
Exhausting. My feet hurt a lot already.
You started dancing yet?
I know. We shouldn't have parked that far, but we saved $30 on parking.
The students checked in at a table. Then a security guard looked into the girls' purses and made the boys empty their pockets and patted them down before they descended the stairs into a large ballroom. The students found their places at numbered tables arranged around a big dance floor. A 14-piece band took the stage, and the party was officially on.
Muchas felicidades a todos los seniors at Roosevelt High School. Puro class of 2019. Ánimo pues que se escuche el ambiente. Y así arrancamos sus amigos de la banda menor para que les
amarren. Two by two, couples made their way onto the dance floor until it was a single bouncing mass of suits and dresses. I stood around for a while, sipping a Coke in the corner, taking it all in, and then stepped outside to get some fresh air. Out on a bench behind the hotel was a woman smoking a cigarette.
I'll talk to you if you wanted me to. I'll talk to you.
All right.
So, you've met a Southerner tonight.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you want to know?
What brought you here, Taylor?
What brought me here?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a wedding. Yeah, yeah.
Who's getting
married? I can't tell. I'm not going to tell you who's got married.
Say who's getting married?
No, I can't.
Are
really.
They famous?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, yeah, it is exciting. So, okay.
So you're for a famous wedding.
Mm-hmm. What else? What else you want to talk about?
Do you have plans for the weekend?
I'm here for a wedding.
So you go to the wedding. Then.
What? Pardon me?
Go to the wedding Saturday.
Yes, yes.
And then fly back home Sunday?
You're not a very good interviewer. Okay, so now that I've just like said something ugly to you.
No, it's fine.
I'm like talking to this nice looking young man. I don't know. I've just been drinking water all night. That's what I want to tell everyone. So cheers to all of y'all. Please be kind to each other and love each other. Oh my goodness. Do something kind to somebody tomorrow. Bye.
Good.
I'm sure it was fabulous. Good night. Watch this step.
Good night. Yeah, I will. Thanks for the cigarettes.
Enjoy it. Bye.
Bye. Tide. Enjoy the wedding.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I sat there in the alley for a while, just listening to the sounds of downtown and thinking about all those people in the city, hoping to find love or just take a breather from the weight of daily life. I thought about Andrea and her boyfriend, how they were both going off to college in different states, but hoping to stay together long distance. And I wondered what the future will be like for these seniors about to graduate. Eventually, I made my way back into the hotel, down to the ballroom.
Cool.
where prom was in full swing. On the edge of the dance floor, teachers watched and smiled. Andrea's advisor, Ana Murillo, stood in the lobby, taking a break from the noise. She was quick to praise Andrea.
So I'm super proud of her for everything she's accomplished.
She's known Andrea since her sophomore year. A lot of kids at Roosevelt, including Andrea, have a long bus ride to get to school.
They have to deal with a lot, especially for our students who come from South LA, just having to do that long commute to get there. You know, and there's a lot of other issues, you know, regards to income or immigration status. But our students are super, super resilient. And, you know, they make it to school and they succeed. They're doing great things.
Southside Slim, y'all. A.K.A. Well, Henry Harris, A.K.A. Southside Slim. Hanging down here at the one and only Barnyard with a few of my friends, just the way I like it. Little big leg woman.
Lord, no. The Barnyard is pretty quiet. At the moment, there are no customers. And in back, where the bands play at night, there's only a couple of people hanging out.
But this is the place, man. It's like paradise, bro.
The calm before the storm. Actually, after the storm, too.
It rained last night.
And now everything at the Barnyard is wet. And an older man uses a push broom to shove the water out the door, while Southside Slim sits on the edge of the stage, goofing around with his guitar.
You can imagine like in about 5 or 6 hours or so, there's going to be someone playing pool over there. There's going to be people kicking back at those tables and stuff and smoking their cigarettes and drinking their liquor. It's going to be just like as if you were transported back into 1957. This is it. You can't get no deeper than this. How can you get deeper than this here? I would give anybody $1,000 if they can take me to a place like this. Man, this is magic. You hear that back there? The spirit of B.B. King just sailing all through the place, man.
Do you remember the first time you went there?
Yeah. I went there and heard them guys in there playing blues. I'm like, whoa. Sounds pretty good.
This is Eugene Baker, but everybody calls him Buzz. He's a drummer who plays often at the Barnyard.
So I sort of drifted in and listened, and I sort of made my way up to the platform. I sort of made my way behind the drums, and there I was playing with the guys, you know, and they sort of liked the way I played. And from there, they've been looking out for me, you know, asking me to come and sit a few sets with them. And I've been thrilled. It's a pretty nice atmosphere. And it's a pretty good folks around there, too. So the true riches in life, they seem to be hidden in the minds and hearts of other people. So I guess it's the people that makes the place.
Is that your dog?
Yeah.
Do you want to let him in or anything? Or?
No. I sort of want him to go back into the yard. I may have to lead him. He's just a little pup.
For us, it's Friday night. Where are we?
We are at the legendary Dresden Room. I am your host at the door, Howie. It's Friday night, and the legendary Marty and Elaine, who are here Tuesday through Saturday, playing. It's a great jazz lounge. Marty's on the drums, Elaine's on the piano, the organ, and she does flute. They always have a great stand-up bass player. They've been playing here for 38 years. 38 years. And this place, a lot of people know this place because of the movie Swingers. Because the scene is when they all park, the five cars parked in the back, one next to the other, they all took their own car, and then they walk in and Marty is singing Staying Alive. It's classic. But that's where you are, at the Dresden on Vermont between Franklin and Hollywood. It's rocking in there. It's bopping. What, the next, we need mushrooms legalized.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, it's happening. I think it's on its way.
Well, you know what the World Health Organization said? The World Health Organization said there is no substance on this planet better for healing chronic depression and PTSD than the substance in...
Hoy es viernes, ¿y qué significa viernes a ti?
Viernes excelente, fin de semana, estar happy, muy contentos, felices, claro.
At the corner of Sunset and Western, a security guard watches over the late night patrons of Leo's taco truck.
Ah. Cuando no estás trabajando, ¿qué te gusta hacer en un viernes?
Okay, cuando yo no trabajo, cuando me toca descanso, pues irme a, pues qué sé yo, a bailar, a pues a diferentes.
¿Dónde te gusta bailar?
Pues música romántica, música cumbias, mexicana, ¿verdad? De todo tipo de música. Claro, para todos, para el mundo entero. Félix Rodríguez, directamente de Oaxaca, México. Orgullosamente de Cimatlán, de Álvarez, Oaxaca, para el mundo entero, ¿sí? Pero ahora radicamos en California y pues, ¿qué más me queda de que pues brindar mi trabajo y darles una seguridad a todos ustedes?
Back on the mountain, Alexander has started his descent and is telling the story of Isaac Luria, a 16th century Jewish mystic.
He's the reason we have the phrase Tikkun Olam, healing of the world, which has become like the mantra for the social justice expression of Judaism. But it comes from this mystical vision he had where basically, the holy light of God gets put into these vessels, and the vessels are supposed to make it to earth, but they weren't strong enough to, like, re-enter the atmosphere, so they shattered, and all of God's light entered into creation in, like, little bitty fragments, and the mystics' work on the planet is to redeem creation by perceiving and then retrieving all these little shards of light and putting them all back together whole again.
I like this idea a lot. I would even go a step further and say it's not just the job of the mystic, but it is everyone's duty to heal the world by collecting all those tiny shards of holy light and putting them back together.
Music, it's like war, you know, it's like people out here fighting to be heard. It's unheard of, but that's what they're fighting over, to be heard. It's always of something that's not fair, you know, or unjust.
What do you mean?
It's like there's no fair game when it comes to like a war and love. It's like there, it's more like in order to be loved, some kind of hate and discontent, in order for someone to appreciate somebody else or to be respected. It's like you got into a fight with somebody before they became your best friend. It's fireworks in the background. It's sort of distracting. Well,
wild dreams. We spoke of God. We spoke of things that exist and that doesn't exist, that we can't see but exist. Because, yeah, we do go at it like that. Find out what is life is all about, you know. Why are we here, you know. As Joe say, you have to die to find out. So we want to find out before we die what's going on here, you know. And by speaking of it, we put it in expression in music, you know. We express it with music, you know, while we're here. Need that sound. We need that escape. We need that gateway, you know. Once that gateway is open, it's a whole nother dimension in music. It's a whole different plane. It's something to listen for in music.
Yeah, I mean, I have my ideas and my dreams, and I know damn well if I follow through on them, you would know my name. I used to, when I was doing the open mic, I did something else called Ambush Comedy Show. It was right here on Hollywood Boulevard. I used to have a small mic and amp that I used to go in there and tell people jokes. I used to pull pranks on them and shit. I had, a fart machine with a remote control, and I used to, put that there, and I used to press the remote, and I said, "Who farted?" And people would be like... So I was pulling that kind of pranks on them and shit. You know, that's the kind of shit I was doing out there, but I have even better ideas and things I want to do. But, you know, I don't have the money. That's the thing.
Back at prom, the DJ makes the announcement that they're about to play the last song of the night. So everyone rushes over to the dance floor. Andrea and her boyfriend dance together one last time. And then the song ends, and prom is over.
Hey, how was it?
It was good. That was prom. We have $400 of 3 hours of music. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's bittersweet to end. You never think prom is like this until you think it's this big, huge thing. It's everyone just dressed nicely, honestly. Yeah.
Slowly, the kids make their way out of the hotel, grabbing each other along the way to find out which after party everyone's going to. Back on the road with Geisha, she's about to make her last delivery of the night. She's so ready for the shift to be over.
Yeah, let's hang out.
She almost called in sick today.
But I just took some CBD capsules this morning. I took some last night. I'm on my period right now. It's just full disclosure. It's helped me a lot. And it's actually made me more functional because I was at the point where I wanted to call in this morning and be like, I don't feel good. I cannot work. Took some CBD and now I'm happy camper. Feel functional, you know? I can get through the day. That's what it is. People are looking for ways to get through their day. Function. You know, not be weighed down by their pain or discomfort or whatever it is.
By now, things are in full swing at the Barnyard. Touchdown Tommy is on the mic. Buzz is behind the drum set. The dance floor is packed. Meat Man is tearing it up, dressed to the nines in all white with alligator skin boots. The liquor is flowing. The air is thick with cigarette and weed smoke. And out in the yard, Joe is holding court, sitting on an old office rolling chair, surrounded by friends. You know the woman you can get.
you. Thank you. Yeah, baby. You and me. Come on, Volvo. I don't get flipped off very much. Come on, baby. Come on.
I've been thinking a lot about Steve Sharp lately. About how there was this period back in 2003 when Americans were on fire with rage over the invasion of Iraq. How they took to the streets in mass protests to voice their opposition to the killing of innocent lives. They marched through the streets and held up homemade signs for a little while. But then there were other things to do on Friday nights. New restaurants to eat at, movies to see.
Hello.
And the people who gathered at that intersection in Hollywood eventually stopped showing up. Except for Steve.
Come on.
He was there every single Friday because he thought he could make a difference. And because, like so many Angelenos, there's a part of him that wants to be a star.
Gives me a chance to perform a little bit for the people, you know? Yeah. Come on, baby, let's go. Hello. Hello, young lovers. Wherever you are. Come on now, sing it out. Sing it with me. Hey. I hope, yeah. I hope your troubles are few. Sing it out.
These last few months have been rough here in L.A. Come on. For some people, it's always been rough. I had this idea that when the city opened back up after the pandemic, I would be out in the streets that first Friday night with all the other stir-crazy revelers unleashed back out in the city. I had this vision of being at the bar, at a loud and joyous celebration. How I would see the other regulars, people I recognize but who I've never had a conversation with. And we would see each other in a new light, talk to each other for the first time, and raise our glasses in an epic cheers to everything we'd been through. Instead, the first public gatherings in LA were not held in the name of joy or a great sense of relief. And I found myself standing shoulder to shoulder with people in masks, marching through the streets to protest racism and the killing of African Americans by the police. These days, I spend most Friday nights at home. And more often than I'd like, I find myself sitting on the couch, scrolling through stories of people getting assaulted by police and people in detention centers and prisons pleading for help as the virus spreads. And it fills me with sadness and rage, but also hope, because things feel like they are shifting. I know there will be a time when the thrill of Friday night returns. But in the meantime, there's work to be done. One Friday morning this past December, I was at my daughter's elementary school. I was in the cafeteria, standing shoulder to shoulder with the other parents, watching our kids perform the winter pageant. Each class sang a different song, and the third graders chose Paz y Libertad by José Luis Orozco. And it made me hopeful that together we will pull it off. We will gather up all those little bitty fragments of the holy light of God and put them back together so these kids can be free to spend their Friday nights however they damn well please.
Yeah.
This piece was produced by me, David Weinberg, with help from Nick White. It was also edited by Nick White, with additional help from Sonia Geis, Katya Apakina, and Richard Parks III. Sound and mixing by Ray Guarna. Special thanks to Chrissy Barker.
As of right now, we are at the Gage Bowling Alley that is open 24 hours a day. We came with a group of friends, and we are all competing against each other to see who's the best one this night. How do you feel tonight after prom?
I actually don't feel very tired, and I was excited to come bowling.
What about you?
I'm tired, but I'm bowling, and I'm winning so far, I think.
Oh, you are?
I think I am.
Nah, no, Joelle.
Joelle? But I feel good.
Is this going to go on the radio or something?